You see it now? Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. Thank you, Francesca, for inviting me to give a talk. I'm a postdoc at Center for Industrial Sustainability and as a part of engineering department, manufacturing, Institute for Manufacturing. But recently, in for the past 2 years, I have been involved in leading the work package within the project called Make It. And we developed a protocol, and then we ran makeathons to address the food industry's challenge to make the food system supply chain more smarter and more sustainable. And this was really fun, personally, and it was really rewarding. And it was rather quite an unusual match between the rapid open innovation mechanism and the food industry, because they don't really know each other so well. So it was an interesting match, and see how we can harvest a potential between from these two different entities. So we call it Makeathon. Let's say rapid. So the keyword is a rapid innovation and entrepreneurial innovation and hacking. So to give you a little, so I am from an engineering background, but I'm a designer by training. So also two different things are all mixed. And now we're talking about food. And I trust there will be many scientists who has a very, very detailed and in-depth knowledge about particular food items or foods or nutrition. So this is really good. Personally, I find it really exciting because we can harvest and pick the brain from different parts, different people, and come up with a novel solution we never ever be able to come up as an individual. So what is a makeathon? Perhaps you have heard of hackathons. Hackathon is you know, imagine hackers, they come together in one, or they walk in a dark room with a computer, like with a free pizzas, and they come up with the programs and codings. So they will hack the system, or they will hack the program. But now we are bringing the hackathon idea of this open innovation idea with the making of physical making. It could be in the kitchen with the food items, but it could be like making in the prototypes in the makerspace, like a, you know, the makerspace with the different tools, like 3D printers, laser cutters, or like woodworking machines and stuff. So we what's really interesting, because of the COVID 19 restriction, which just happened in the middle of our project, which was between 2019 to 2020. Our first makeathons in physical space and makerspaces, or in the kitchen, as you can see in the picture. This is at the makerspace in Cambridge, and people are having a good time playing with the 3D printers here. But and also in Germany, they were having fun with a sausage offcut to come up with a new food items using in the industrial kitchen. But in the middle of the pandemic, we had to go all online or hybrid, meaning that we do it online mainly, but bringing some makerspace people to do the prototyping at their venue, like remotely, or send out the kits to the making kits to home. So like it's kind of hybrid, but it was difficult, and it was very challenging for us to rapidly convert to all the physical ones to online. But at the end, we realized it sort of unpacked the flexibility, the potential of the doing more flexible, so we can reach out to the experts and innovators across the world, because they don't need to fly, so they can do it at home. And also this will reduce their time to travel all the way. Also, we don't have to do it like within specifically 1-2 days, 1 to 3 days, where we could actually spend it across a week or something. So we still keep the momentum going, but with less restricted time, like stress on time. So Make It project itself was a research and impact creation project we've done in the past 2 years, co-funded by Cambridge University and the EIT Food. And with our 10 partners in Switzerland and Spain, Germany, Iceland, Belgium, and Northern Ireland, and Finland and Poland, like many lands. And we ran all together 15 makeathons around 6 different food items, from sugar, cocoa, meat, fruit, veg, and fish and bread. So that was really fun and such a big learning curve for us to capture all the learnings and know-hows. So basically why we want to do this, especially for the companies, we wanted to address the grand challenge, which is difficult to solve, but with a potentially really large social impact. But for the companies, we also wanted to involve industries so that we will address their pain points at the same time. But normally for companies, it's difficult to focus on a challenge because they're busy with all different things to deal with all the time. But we need all new ideas all the time. But these ideas has to be tested quickly and cheaply. So this is an interesting way to generate ideas at a relatively cheap price and in a very, very short time frame. So there are three pillars of makeathons. We bring interdisciplinary innovation. So we bring designers and food scientists and engineers and entrepreneurs and like business and marketing people. Like these are the four major experts we bring in. So when food scientists, they know all about this, but they don't particularly have a good business ideas how to build the business models. And when they have a great idea, how can you build this into actual machine or actual product? So we bring engineers and designers, they come up with different solutions. And also they do bring the prototyping and sketching skills too. And secondly, I briefly explained grand challenge is the key theme, another key theme of our makeathons. We don't really just want to tackle the problem within the industry, which is business oriented, but we want to have a challenge led innovation, meaning that we start from the large societal challenge, and then while we go through the refining process, we can see what is the actual challenge and the problem we can solve with this within this frame. And the prototyping is an interesting thing I always enjoy, because if you leave people to come up with ideas, it's really interesting. People every time they just come up with the app ideas, like all digital, everything digital. So we wanted to break that the habit and come back to the hands-on prototyping and physical experiment to this innovation scheme. And normally food sectors, they have very, very good industrial kitchens and they have all these experts and tools, but not necessarily they do have a good connection with the maker spaces. Where actually I can show you things like this, where you have this like large machines and 3D printers and all sorts of it could be very high tech or also it could be very rudimental stuff. But that's where you come up with the crazy ideas that you didn't really think of before. So far, this is the map of our partners and our ideas, what we've done. So in last 2019, altogether, we've done 4 makeathons in 4 countries and 95 participants and came up with 21 ideas. And then in the following year, last year, we've done 11 different makathons in 9 countries, and over 200 people attended, and 52 different ideas came up. So that was really intense, and it can be quite stressful to organize, but it was very fruitful. And invariably, I never failed to feel excited and very, very rewarded afterwards when I was supervising. I ran one of it, and each partners in different country, they pick their own challenge, and they run their own stuff and come up with ideas. So give you a little bit of details of the what has happened. Say case one was COCO. You can imagine which country this has been done. It was Switzerland. So Switzerland came up with the idea of reliability of COCO supply chain. So they, after survey and the workshop with industry leaders and within the industry networks, they came up with the 3 tasks to give the participants, like poverty of the cocoa farmers, or the traceability of the cocoa, and the sugar, reducing the sugar contents in chocolate. Or dairy, they want to see, because in dairy, it was in Northern Ireland. You can imagine Ireland is really famous for the dairy products. But these days, with the climate change threat, people started to put their fingers to meat producers and dairy farmers, and they are overwhelmed by the criticism when they didn't really believe they were doing anything really harmful. You know, this is a new challenge for the farmers. So they wanted to Northern Ireland, Belfast, Queen's University Belfast, wanted to come up with some solutions that would be still environmentally friendly, but still keeping, you know, cherishing the nutritious value of dairy products. That was, you know, it seems to be quite a tricky challenge, because many people are now converting to becomes non-dairy, or they choose to have a non-dairy milk alternatives. Things like, the list goes on. In Cambridge, we've done the sugar overconsumption. So we gave this quite a broad and abstract task, like how can we help the individual manage their own sugar consumption? So we came up with some really random ideas, like the toys or the baskets, or even like caps for your bottles. So all the challenges can be very, very detailed and concrete. Like you say here, sources of offcuts, you've seen the picture. How can offcuts, the end pieces of the sausage industry, like sausage, so you can imagine it's from Germany. So they wanted to have like particular product ideas to make the use of the sausage offcuts that are perfectly good quality, only the funny shape that doesn't really fit in the machine to slice. So it's the same things like in Belgium, we had food waste from the industry, like cut asparagus and apple pulp from the apple juice manufacturer. So they also wanted to come with solutions for that. So we had the organizers, we worked on how to best refine the task. Sometimes it can be really broad and very explorative. Sometimes it can be very specific and concrete. So that's one more like a dimension of research that I was working on from the academic perspective. So, and it was, we also, you can see meat was, and game meat was another quite a popular topic to cover. People wanted to come up with alternative meat solutions from the social perspective or technical perspective, or what is the future consumption for young adults? Like, so we had the participants from high school, or we had the offcuts from the seafood industry, like some. In Iceland, where the fishing industry is really big, they wanted to come up with solutions for salmon offcuts after filleting. Or in other bakers in Iceland, they gave really interesting ingredients for the participants. One was the powder from the code bones. So after they fillet the code fillet, and they left over with a really beautiful big piece of code bones, and they ground it, and they wanted to see how they can use it. And some other ones were otoliths, like the stone in the ears in the fish. It's very, very hard, and it could nearly be like a jewelry piece. So they wanted to give it to the people and how what they come up with. And the other one was a blowfish skin. It was like funny, like a really wobbly jelly type of fish. It was really stinky, and they gave it to the people, and they wanted the people to see like what they can come up with it. So that was a really, really diverse items. And we are continuing it this year. We are continuing with our consortium, and which could be more relevant to the global food security, that I am trying to do this run a makerson for the African Yambin in the Nigerian context, so that how can we promote African Yambin, and to, because it's a really high protein quality contents, but it's not being used really widely in Nigeria by the local people. So we want to see how we can do it. So here are some, this is the overview of everything, but some examples of like how it looked like. In Cambridge, it was before the COVID. So we were able to convene in the makerspace like this, and we came, this is the winner. You can't really see it. This is the winner for this event. We came up with a toy, DIY toy for the kids. And there's a coin for the vegetable and a white coin for the sugar. So this is a weekly monitor for their sugar consumption for young kids. So that, you know, you have this, if you want a sugar, if you want the candy, then you need to feel, I'm sorry, I can't really, it's blocked by this thing. So it helps you to discipline your kids with their sugar consumption by visualizing how much they have taken every day, and with the and reward with the smiley face and the sad face and things. And if I give you some more examples, and then we next year we came to the vegetable and fruit and vegetable garden, and in July. In July, we wanted to address that issue with the rigid supply chain, so that we have a panic buying in the shop, so we don't have anything to buy in Sainsbury's, and shelf was empty, whereas the farmers, they had to plow their produce back into soil because the restaurants were shut down, and they couldn't really sell it to the restaurants and hospitalities. But why it is really natural to think that, so they can actually send it to the customer or directly, or they can sell it, or they can give it to the kitchen. But it didn't really happen at the larger scale because of the rigid and really complex contract issues and the supply chain. So we gave this quite a difficult task to the participants. And thanks to the online conversion, I was in South Korea and he was in Cambridge, and she was in India and Ireland and Cambridge and some other places in UK. They could come together and work, and individually they worked on the baking prototypes at home and show like and mentors through Zoom. And then later they send out the plan to make prototyping plans to make a space in Cambridge, and they produce the prototypes, their ideas into the physical stuff. And similar ideas happened in Finland about meat, and another one online one about meat. And this was the game meat, how to produce the game meat, which could be helpful to keep the forest healthy and not like replacing the farmed meat like cow or pork. And which was really interesting was it all came, it all attracted like the female, like hunter type female participants. Can you see the head, the trophy behind him? So that was quite interesting how different topics can attract different type of participants. And seafood in Iceland, and this is some examples that they made with the apple pulp powder. They made they baked it into some muffins and things with the and made in the savory snacks. And also they made and they baked it here like with the apple powder, and they made them into chocolate too. So that was quite fun. And you can see with the mask and the hair. And that they could actually work together still last year. And another one about the plastic packaging issue in bread and bakery industry. And this is dairy one. What can they do to make the dairy products more healthier, and or how to make the use of the whey water better? And this one was about how to help the fish, like artisan fish industry in Spain, in Bilbao, so that to help them to become more efficient in their supply chain. And what else? This is in Poland. They came up with my favorite idea was that this scientist and the designer and entrepreneur, they came up with a product idea called All in a Nutshell. And they came, they provided a box that's made with the nut, grounded nut shells, so that it has the protective property, the natural property, like the bacteria and stuff from the nutshells that will keep the fruit and vegetables much longer. Fresher in this box. So that was a good combination between the very detailed technology and scientific knowledge and some wisdom from local wisdom from the Pakistani scientist and the designer to come up with this idea to keep the fresh produces longer. I like it, even the name. So we are now providing the toolkit to use, like which is a manual and the toolkit, the set of like slide decks and the templates, and we can also provide a teaching service for those who want to run it themselves, or we can run the Makerson ourselves as a service. So it will be a sandpit to initiate the entrepreneur innovation. So what we aim to do is to encourage people to come up with ideas that can be scalable design, a business idea, so that they can start their own business and make a bigger, larger impact while making money themselves. Yeah, I think this is more like of it than I can share today with you. That's me, and please let me know if I can be useful for your particular stuff or particular ideas. Maybe we can collaborate together. This is a good vehicle to bring people together and do exciting things together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Curie. That's a really interesting project. Yeah. And I just wanted to ask you about this kit. Do the kits differ according to the industry, or there's essentially like a prototype that applies for everyone and then it gets adapted?
So this toolkit is this is an interesting question, because when I said I sent out the kit for them to use. Where is it? My cupboard. So it was an actual like a box of like materials with a pencil, pen, and cutting knife, and glue, and some molding putties, and you know, you can. It was a generic generic craft materials, but put together so that it will help them to start getting ideas rather than very specific for the industry. But if the particular company, like you're collaborating, wanted to give you this particular ingredients, like a sausage offcuts or the blowfish skin, these kits are customized and they send you these materials on top of it, or we will decide. But the toolkit here I meant is kind of mental conceptual idea with the manual and the kit with the slide decks and the templates. So that's a generic that will be given to anyone can be used.
Okay, thank you. I have another question, but I'll open up the floor to others to make comments or ask questions.
It might be quite new to many of you, especially if you have been like really buried with your science, the research topics. But I wanted to show you how this can.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah,
it's great.
Thank you,
Milorad. You have a question.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to compliment you, Kari, on an excellent presentation on somehow very important topic and somehow being neglected. And I can see particularly use of this. It's easier for big industries. They've got the whole team of researchers behind and help and make a big tools and instruments and but there is a gap on the market for a small and medium-sized guys who would like to do something when they want to buy machinery that's too costly, it couldn't be fully used and utilized. And I've got a few examples in my veterinary world. One is natural sausage casings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to have a smaller type of machines that could be used in the slaughterhouses effectively and sustainably, good for sustainable environment, blah, 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 all together. No doubt it would fit all the boxes. And another one is, for example, that I have been dealing recently. Many of you may not know that cattle and sheep feet can be blowtorched and used for human consumption. It's an increasingly popular and traditional in some parts of the world and EU too. And then the equipment is expensive. Some kind of mini equipment for few could be invented or scaled down from a bigger guy. See, would these examples fit into your work somehow?
Well, that's really good point that this can actually come up with the particular machines to fit in the particular needs of the industry. I see like you can actually do it right away. Like for now, mm-hmm. we have been funded by EIT Fui, so we didn't have any financial problems. But now if it's for the small companies, maybe we could create a consortium between small companies so they can chip in and cover the cost so we can run it for them, like a customized project for them, the makers on for them. Okay. It could be done quite easily, I guess. Yeah.
Maybe we can take it separately away from today, but thank you very much. And just one more thing about plastic and use for fruit and vegetables and as a packaging material, wrapping and packaging material. I think that is also another example when there is a potential to, usually the solution will come from these small and medium-sized guys for a bigger use international, first tested in the small places and then in the bigger places. So that's quite encouraging to see what has been done in Spain and if I can remember from the list and some other countries.
Yeah, I think so. What we are trying to do is when we run a makeathon, then oftentimes people are really interested. So we reach out to large companies and governments and some academics and some NGOs. So they all come together. So they are aware of the problems together. They agree with it, and they give feedback. And so in some cases, large companies like in Iceland, they are taking one of the ideas forward into their own business model. So like they keep continue working with the people who came up with the ideas. So this could be really good. From the company's perspective, you mentioned it could be coming from the small company, but large companies, they always look for new ideas and some new talent to work with. So it could be a good like pool to the like, talent pool to expose each other. And why not, they will come up with the really good ones and they will actually come to the light.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mirella. Maybe you can liaise, and that's why this group is interesting. You can liaise and see if there's an interest. You can continue this on the vet side. That would be great. Unless, are there any other questions or comments? Because I have a controversial comment to make.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Very much, Curry. It was. It's very interesting to hear about this kind of project. And I guess I was just interested in how it kind of who leads on it and kind of where the how the partners are all brought together for the project.
So that was thanks to the big pocket of money from EIT Food Today, it was EU funded, like part of the Horizon 2020. Fund. So from that the brokerage event, so that we asked people around, we had this idea of putting in maker space and food together, like would you like to join us, like that's how we came together. But it was such a good project team. So now although the EIT Food has finished it, we are very keen to continue our consortium, so that one, by commercializing, and two, by recruiting new members and membership, like industry members and their membership fees, and three, by connecting to other projects, just as I'm doing with my African Yambin project. So keep watching us, because we will come up with new makers here. So I'm doing one for Korean industry in Korea, South Korea, later this year too. There will be more to come.
Yes, it's interesting. An interesting idea.
Yeah. If you see any companies looking for new ideas, then please think of us. I will be happy to have a chat.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
I have a question, which might be controversial. I'd like to sort of open the discussion a little bit. But I mean, in a way, we've been talking about nutrition, making food almost more nutritional. And one project was reducing the sugar content. And in a way, I'm wondering, what's the interest somehow? What's the drive for the companies, at least, that were involved in the project to really meet that target? Because from an economic point of view, it really doesn't make a difference unless they know that the consumers are now less and less going to use less and less products with sugar, because there are certain conditions in place which are kind of going, driving that change. So I'm sort of wondering what the drives are, and if, for example, there's also discussions at the same time with policy, for example, the tax, the sugar tax, and so, how do all these bits go together in a way? Is there something that has been discussed?
I like it controversial, so thank you for the question. okay, that's a really good point. Why industries would be interested in doing the sugar reduction ideas? Mainly because they are under lots of pressure. Like, for example, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo was our partner, and they are experiencing the decrease of the sales of their sugary drinks because of the social awareness, and because there are many people are like putting their fingers, people are getting fat because of you. So they still want to promote, want to sell their products, but not appear to be healthy and reduce, so contain the taste of it, but still providing with less harmful stuff in it. So that was one industrial driver, that was a social pressure. And the reason, so our, one of the ideas was a bottle cap with a smaller amount, the portions can come through, because when you gulp it, you will drink, you have more sugar, but you will control the amount you will gulp at one sip. I personally don't really like it because I will feel really anxious, like when you're like really thirsty, but that was one idea for the industry. But what was really, what we are really happy was that we were rather, it could be independent from the industry needs, so that we could start from the social perspective, so that's why we could come up with a very entrepreneurial idea of the basket or the toy brand. So this will be a separate thing, this to be sold out, like not necessarily within the company. So that was one thing, but still, even if we get the industry memberships and industry project, we still want to highlight the sustainability part of it, so that while we are delivering your potential industry ideas, you will still be addressing the sustainability aspects of the problem or of the business. So it wasn't too controversial at the end.
Okay. Would you say, Curie, that among the pool of companies you work with, there were more conscientious and less conscientious ones? You know, genuinely conscientious rather than just economic driven.
Because we approach it, for our project, we approach it, I think we already have our selection was edited, because we approached the companies like a Cambridge, Kofco, Cambridge organic food as our partners. And also we have Cambridge Sustainable Food, the NGO. So we sort of approach those who are more open and agree with ideas. However, some other makathons, dairy product companies, we found it quite controversial, because we don't really, and also the meat companies, it was really funny to see that this meat company were presenting their ideas to the kids, the high school kids, and they were like, keep trying to like push that meat is good, meat is good, meat is good. Whereas the school kids were already like kind of against the ideas because of the climate change. So that was really fun to see how, even if things could seem rather out of our control, when companies like they took like so long to talk and convince people, or dairy or even fish companies, but sort of because we primed our goal as a sustainable solutions, so we could attract participants who are keen to address it, who are excited about sustainability part of it. So it wasn't, in the end, it wasn't such a big problem. The companies were really, later, mm-hmm. they were impressed how engaged. How participants could come up with good solutions that they didn't think of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, cool. Any other comments or questions?
I just want to say a very, very interesting presentation, a very impressive project, and also very nice to see you after such a long gap. I actually did PhD in the center where Curie is currently working, and Thank you. So I'm currently working in University of Exeter as a lecturer, and I'm currently involved in two projects related to food. And one just like started recently, it's building a network with Ireland, looking at the dairy industry. So it's just like building like the network. At the very, very early stage, we were involved quite a few industrial partners in dairy industry. So I think when we maybe run some workshop events, it would be great if we can invite you to share these projects and some insights with us. And maybe it's also a chance that you can look at more industries, more industrial partners to become their, your members if you want.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, small
world, me. Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. That's good. Already two connections. There weren't too many today, Curie. I'm sorry that there weren't more people today, but two connections seem to have come out of this coffee break seminar. So I'm pleased. Yeah, and so you have, of course, your the email address.
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
We know each other.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. Great, Milor and Sarah, any further questions or comments?
You opened it slightly controversial. Can I say something potentially controversial? In developed world, we have got surplus of food, whilst developing worlds are starving. Has anyone come up with some ideas for these offcuts, not used here, not desirable, too fatty or whatever, not like them because of the color or something, instead of being incinerated and wasted, to pack it sustainably, wrap it, pack it, and preserve it sustainable, and to ship it into developing world to starving children? Or we don't think about these things in such a way. We are only profit driven and
If I can make a comment, Miller, to that, I think it's a great idea. However, this is the kind of politics that we've been following, or this kind of charitable way of working, with, rather than building capacity there. These countries that we've been talking with, that you just mentioned, I mean, they should develop the capacity and build the industry there to their needs, rather than receiving packages. Kind of excess food from us that, you know, in my view, that would be the best way of developing. They have the resources. In many countries, they have the resources. It's just a very bad allocation often.
And I think in terms of the food industry, I think that often the parts that are not, you know, like in the UK, there's lots of, I think some of the parts of the animal that are not as preferred in, for example, the UK, are often then sold elsewhere and to other markets that prefer them. I think that does happen, but I guess it's not directed necessarily at vulnerable populations.
I agree.
In terms of the, thank you for the, thank you for throwing the question about food waste. I agree that I really find it really absurd that it, you know, like a really, really stupid reason that we throw like a beautiful pineapples away because it doesn't really fit. Even, you know, sometimes it is like a for cosmetic reason. There's a pineapple, there are good looking ones will go to the market and being sold. And I imagined in my head, naively believed that like, you know, wonky ones can be used for the juice purpose, but still, the large juicing company, they refuse to take these funny looking ones because it won't fit in their machine. So that like, we did come up with many solutions to tackle the food waste issues, but not directly sending to the developing countries. I think one, because it was the focus was a European food supply chain. However, we came up with the one in my make a song about fruit and vegetable. The winning team came up with a transportation harvesting box made with the pulp from the locally sourced pulp, and they can put their tomatoes without squashing them so that it will get wasted at the beginning of the harvest, so that it will keep the shape better and it will help them to maintain the value of the fruits longer and more of it. That was one of the solutions we did for the Nigerian farmers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. I think we could just use the whole afternoon because it's such a complex area, right? I mean, and we really do need to tackle the food systems to make it sustainable, even if this word now is getting kind of slightly meaningless. We're using sustainable so much, but you know, in real line with the environment, you know, again, resilient, which again is another word which now has become overused, but meaning it can support sort of pushes like COVID and others. Anyway, so I really do think that projects like yours are necessary, and I hope that we can engage even more parts of the society, you know, consumers, policymakers, etc. So I hope that we can discuss more at some point. But thank you so much for giving us an overview of your project. That's really great.
It's my honor to be here today.
And I've seen that a few people have been dropping off, but I guess, you know, you never know on a Friday, is difficult to predict. But thank you very much for your time. And thank you, Milora, Sarah.
Nice and personal, so that's really good.
Yes, it's become a small group, exactly, intimate. Thank you so much, and have all a good weekend. And
thank you, everybody.
Hope to see some of you next Friday. All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Curie.
Thank you.